welcome to Call Center Tools, your show for all things call center. This is episode 3 for Friday, April 14th, 2006. My name is Rob, and I'm joined once again in the studio today by Rick. Thanks for coming by, Rick.
Glad to be back.
In case you missed last week's show, we discussed some of the finer points of recruiting. We gave some examples of questions to ask and what to look for to get the most out of your recruiting process. It was a great show, so if you haven't yet, go check it out by going to our website and downloading it, or going to iTunes and searching for the Call Center Tools podcast. In this week's show, we're going to take the next logical step, and we're going to say that you hired that person that you interviewed.
Right. Today we're going to go over what to do on that person's first day, or like if you hire a group, what to do on that group's first day, how to run an orientation process, and finally, how to conduct training.
All right, so let's get started, Rick. As we said in the past, you've had a few different call center jobs.
Sure have.
So go over for some of our listeners some of those first day training experiences that you've had, good or bad.
Right. Well, generally, if I had to describe it all in one word, I would say overwhelming. At first day, you know, you walk into a new office, you're trying to make a good impression, you're meeting people, you're getting new terms thrown at you, different software that you've never seen before. I mean, it's a lot to take in.
It definitely
especially if it's unstructured.
Right.
If you're just being thrown to the wolves, basically. What about you, Rob? Any interesting stories?
Well, the last call center job I had was actually an inbound help desk, and they were severely understaffed once I started. On the day I started, I actually came in, they said, here's your computer, here's your headphones, here's a ticketing system. If you can't figure that out, use Microsoft Word to enter your tickets, and we'll do it for you later.
Something like on-the-job training.
No, here's the bathroom, here's your boss. I was thrown to the wolves, like you said. So that's obviously not how this is supposed to work. So how should it work? Well, we have some good processes that we've designed, and we'd like to share them with you today. The first thing that we do is everything has to be consistent. We find a good process, and we're consistent with it across the board.
Good point.
The first process that we have is I have a new hire checklist. It's basically a manager's checklist for a new employee's first day. And we're going to go over that, some of the things that entails, and actually that's going to be available, or a sample of that's going to be available on our website for download. So the process starts in the very beginning. We want the person to feel like that they're wanted there. You know, we hired them. We actually want them to be there, and they're not an afterthought. So the first thing that we do is if they start at 9 o'clock, we're at the door at probably about 10 till. And usually, if available, I'm there as a manager. I'll have a supervisor, and if not available, one of the desk technicians, or maybe a few of us at the door. Just so this new person comes in, we welcome them. The next thing we do is we give them a quick facility tour. You know, that's when they get to here's the bathroom.
Oh, what you didn't get.
Here's the snack machines. Here's the foosball table. All the important stuff. Yeah,
foosball table, important stuff. Right.
Then I take them to meet the appropriate people. It might be the other managers, the HR people, the admin people. Then I take them over to their desk. And one of the things that I always do is I make sure their desk is fully stocked and ready to go. I want them to have pens, pencils, papers, yellow stickies. I want their name tag on their desk when they get there.
So you're adding a personal touch on their first day.
Right.
That's good.
Now, like I said, they start at 9 o'clock, so what I usually have is at 10 o'clock I have an HR meeting scheduled. That's to go over all their insurance forms, all the information, any questions that they may have. That usually takes about an hour, so 10 to 11. 11 o'clock, the most important part of a new hire's day. The new employee lunch. I try to take them out to lunch, get a couple of guys from the desk, talk to them, get to know their background, make them feel like they're part of the team. Once we have all that done, we get back to the office about 1 o'clock, and that's when the actual training begins.
Now, in my experience, I know that there are different types of training. I've been involved in different types of training. I've given different types of training. And I've pretty much narrowed it down to 4 types, what I like to classify into 4 different types of training. First one, one-on-one training. Mm-hmm. Just like it sounds, you pair up a new trainee with somebody on the desk, and basically that person is just supposed to download their knowledge to that new trainee. Generally, I'm not a fan of this approach. I don't think it's very effective. I think you can learn a lot of bad habits. It's boring for the technician involved.
Right.
Maybe you pair them up with the wrong person, somebody who's not motivated. Mm-hmm. Now, there's ways to expand on this. I've developed the JQR. We can move texts around. But generally, not my preferred.
What is a JQR?
We can talk about that a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah, let me go over the other groups that we have. Second type of group, small group. Again, like it sounds, this could be anywhere from 3 to 4. Mm-hmm. You don't really want to exceed 6 to 8 for team dynamics.
Now, for the small group training. Who is actually doing this training? Is it a designated trainer or is it a lead tech?
Oh, that's, supervisor? That's a good question. That leads in well with my next type of group, which is a large group. I think for a small group, and what I found, and again, this could differ for anybody, for a small group, this means basically you're hiring maybe a couple of people a month, a couple of people every few months, not much turnover, not much reason to have a full-time dedicated trainer. So you get one of your lead technicians, somebody who's good in a classroom environment, somebody who can give some formal lessons. I like to have a lesson plan already typed out so that person isn't going off the fly. You just get somebody who fills the role when need be.
Okay.
Large groups, anywhere over 10. My largest group was 28.
Wow.
By the way, it did not work.
Was that as a trainer or as a trainee?
That was as a trainer.
Okay.
As a trainer, right. It did not work as well as we would have liked.
Okay.
Let's say we have a group of 15. That means you're doing a lot of hiring, maybe a lot of turnover. You're a large desk, naturally filling some holes. You're doing large groups. Maybe it's better to have a dedicated trainer, somebody who all they do is training. This could be somebody who previously was a technician, helps to have done the job before you train.
Absolutely.
And even when they're not training, they can do ad hoc training as well. So somebody fills a role of dedicated trainer on your team.
Okay.
My last group, and this is my personal favorite, I call it the hybrid.
Okay.
All right, we're going to mix some of these groups up. We're going to mix some of these training types up. Let's say we have a small group, 4 people. They may sit in training for 6 hours a day. The last 2 hours a day, they're going to go out on the floor, pair up with the tech, some of that one-to-one training, and put practical application of what they learned in the morning class.
You're going to apply that knowledge that you just learned.
Absolutely.
It helps reinforce it, wouldn't it?
Right.
Okay, great.
And we can rotate technicians, we can rotate trainees. That way they get exposed to different habits, different techniques, find something that works for them. You know, just mixing it up some.
Okay.
Also, let's say your training lasts 2 weeks. I like to spend a couple of days after the training with nothing but some one-to-one. You actually getting them in there, listening to calls.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to sit in the seat. Now they're going to type into the ticketing system. They're going to talk and type and have somebody listen to them and make sure they're doing it right. So we're not going to take them straight from the class and throw them in a live production environment.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? There's a crawl, you're a walk, and a run involved.
Okay, good.
Right.
Good.
So that's my preferred method.
Okay.
So,
I think what it boils down to is you have to choose what method works best for you and the circumstances that you're in.
Absolutely.
One other thing that I want to add that I find helpful as a manager is I follow up with the trainees. I go in during the training and I tell them exactly what's going to happen. I say, hey, in 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going to meet with you individually. And I want you to think about what was good in training, what was bad in training, what knowledge gaps do we have. You know how I love knowledge management.
In fact, we have a whole podcast dedicated to knowledge management, don't we?
That's coming up soon, right? But I'd like to find out what knowledge gaps we had. What could we have done better in training to get you ready for working the desk? Take that and I refine the training process. We go back and we change what needs to be changed. We take those suggestions. We refine that process to make it the best process.
So this is every trainee after every training class?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And some trainees come in and they have no pads and we talk for 30 minutes. Some come in and say, oh, nothing. Nothing. It was great. But during that time, we also rate the trainer. I like to see how my trainers are doing. And the trainees, who are protected this time, know that everything's confidential.
Right.
And it never turns into a bash of trainers.
You know, and I think this rating the trainer is especially important if you don't have a dedicated trainer. Let's say you have 3 or 4 lead techs who are doing the training. You can find out who is the most effective.
Right. Exactly. And so what I'm always doing is I'm taking the suggestions of these technicians who are new to the desk, and I'm constantly refining that training process to make it the best that we can possibly get it. Now, speaking of refining, I've seen your training process that you have, and it's probably one of the best training processes I've seen for anybody.
Thanks.
You spoke about it earlier when you said JQR. Can you tell us what it stands for, and can you tell us exactly what this JQR is and what it does for you?
Sure. JQR is a term I borrowed from the military.
Okay.
Job qualification requirements.
Okay.
But actually, what happened was I worked on a very small desk. We would hire one person maybe every 6 months. We didn't have a formal training process. There was no need for a trainer. And I just got tired of doing informal training. So I developed this checklist of what the trainee sits down at his desk and does some self-training. Works two ways. One, they're teaching themselves what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Two, what I like to call prep their computer.
Okay.
Say they need some software installed, teaches them where to go get that software, gets them used to our network. If we VPN into a client's network, gets them familiar with the client's network as well. Gets them looking at different intranet sites if we have any, knowledge bases. They have to go out and find the information themselves.
Now, who's ensuring that this... Is somebody checking on this?
Yeah, every single one of these. For example, I might say, locate the client's VPN software and install it on your machine. They're going to go to the knowledge base, find the instructions on how to install it, install it on their machine and get it checked off by a senior technician.
Okay.
So every one of these is a step.
Okay.
So one, it's teaching them how to do common tasks that they're expected to perform on the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a good way of allowing them to sit down and teach themselves the things that they're going to learn on the desk.
That's an interesting process, and it worked for you in that environment. I wonder how that would work in a larger environment, if that kind of process would work.
All right, I think in a larger environment, you can do a lot of it in a formal class,
mm-hmm.
but everybody knows you're going to learn more when you're on the desk, right? When you're actually doing it, right? So maybe in a large environment, what I'd like to do is you get your formal training, and then at the end, you go back and do a JQR type. You know, it only lasts a day. Even on my small desk, JQR at the most lasted 2 days.
Would you be okay with maybe making a sample JQR so that we could post on the website so our listeners can download and see what we're actually talking about?
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll have that on there in addition to our new hire checklist then.
Sounds good.
So to sum everything up, to have a good, effective training and orientation program, we have three things that we do. We've developed a new hire checklist, a manager's checklist. We want a good, consistent, efficient orientation process where everything's taken care of the first day. All the accounts are created. The person's desk is stocked. They feel like they're part of the team. Second, we've developed a training program to fit our needs. In your case, you've developed a JQR, a job qualification requirement, that's almost self-training. But whatever that is, that training process, we take that where we find it and make it the best training process we can by being consistent and using our next step, which is following up with the trainees and refining our training process. We take their input, we find out what was missing, we add that in, and we're constantly massaging training curriculum to make it better. A well-trained tech is a well-trained technician, and the shorter we can make that training time, the shorter turnaround we have to those technicians on the desk and being productive.
Right.
So that's it for today's show. Make sure to tune in next week when we talk about call handling and phone etiquette. So we hope you enjoyed the show, and as always, thanks for tuning in.
Right, and don't forget, we always want to hear your feedback and ideas. To contact us, please feel free to email us at callcentertools@gmail.com or leave a comment on our website at thecallcenterpodcast.blogspot.com.
And don't forget, we're going to have a sample new hire checklist and a sample JQR document also for download on our website. So feel free to drop by and download those for your own use. Until next week, this is Rob.
And this is Rick.
And we hope you have a great week.